This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
A week before that, we had Evan and Jesse got married. You guys want to hop up and let everyone know how happy you are? Yay, you're happy. Yay. How cool is that? That's cool. And then before that, we had Benny and Giovanni. Yeah. They were married. They just got back from their honeymoon, right? Man, love is in the air. It's amazing. Weddings. I never really liked the word fiance. It sounds too much like finance me, I think. Maybe. I think. My brother got married, last year? I think it was. And he said that he fell in love with her the moment he saw her house. Just kidding. My brother said, how come every time you talk about me, it's negative? And I'm like, yeah, you really need to change. No, but love is wonderful. Women are incredible. I think women are amazing because they can just, with just a little bit of body wash, jump in the shower and be clean. Bing! Just like that. But not us men. You know, not us gross creatures. It's going to take a large block of soap with giant chunks of rock in it to get us clean. Because we're like, we got hair and all these patches. We're kind of like a bear, you know. Not a normal bear, though. A very, very sick bear. You know, a Chernobyl bear. Very ill. Anyway, I'm glad you guys love us so much. So, my wife is up here. She's going to partner with me in this session, and I'm super thankful for that. We're going to talk about strongholds tonight, and we're going to talk really about God's activity around strongholds in our lives, because there's a lot to it. We've been talking about how all of us carry within us a powerful sin nature or a selfish nature that will lead us into different forms of bondage. Another term we use for sin nature is flesh. That's kind of a term we use in the scripture. And if you're not used to that, that's kind of the term we use for it. I'm not talking about flesh and blood as in our body. We're talking about our selfish nature. And we develop our flesh through our need to control how we're going to get our needs met. You know, we do this in our upbringing according to our temperament. We all develop different kinds of flesh and different kind of coping mechanisms. Another way of putting it is that we all have kind of a self-life. And your self-life is your life apart from God. You know, how you live life. How you go about getting your needs met apart from God. So we all have this anti-God virus that we carry within us. And that anti-God virus, kind of like what Dan was talking about, is directly opposed to your new identity and your true identity. And the good news is your flesh or that selfish nature is not who you are. And so our sinful nature's basic mode of operation is to make itself look and feel good in whatever situation it is and to protect itself. And our flesh is, in fact, the Christian's number one enemy, because it is through that enemy that our other enemy has access to our lives and our attitudes. And so many things that start in the spirit end up failing because they end up turning flesh. Anytime there's any attention, there's a crowd that forms. Promise Keepers was, to me, one of those that started powerfully in the spirit. And then now we're going to vote on a bunch of stuff and make sure everyone has positions and knows who's in charge, and this whole thing begins to take shape, and the flesh always wants credit. And so if you decide to partner with God in walking away from this self-life, when you decide that you're going to partner with God in agreeing about your flesh, it is going to put up a fight.
Ephesians 6:12 talks about the struggle or this fight that we are in. And it reads like this: "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And another way of saying what we just read would be that our struggle is not against persons with bodies. Our struggle is against an invisible, organized set of rulers and sub-rulers with ranks and divisions. As a spirit being, I have been given loving authority over my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. I have been given loving authority over my body. And God creates circumstances in our lives that teach us how to reign in this way. Now, the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian slavery instantly through the crossing of the Red Sea. But then God would lead them into a process, teaching them how to think and act and live as children of God rather than slaves. And likewise, we are being trained as glorious sons and daughters of God. Scripture says that we are heirs, that we are co-owners with Jesus Christ. And all that he owns, which happens to be everything, we too will inherit. And how much training and preparation do you guys think we need for something like that? I like to look at life as a giant classroom. And every morning I wake up, I show up to class, I have my pen and paper in hand, and I say, God, what do you want me to learn today? What do you have for me to learn today?
So you probably did pretty well in school, huh? I imagine. I didn't do too well in school. I always had this dome head shape. When I was in the third grade, my head was basically the same size as it is right now. How do you think that went? I would basically wake up and tip over. Lovely. My friends would say, "Why don't you just put a hat on?" And I'd say, "That's like putting glitter on a pimple." I'm in a funny mood tonight. I used to be Japanese, you know, when I was little. I didn't know you could outgrow a nationality, right? I did it. And I look very strange now. I've been told to go back to so many different countries. I don't even know. People say, "Why don't you just go back to wherever we're bombing or whatever?" So, like my wife was saying, our wilderness training, these circumstances that we're in, are a valuable training ground for us to become established as sons and daughters of God. And when we take a driving test or a driver's license test, that is designed to establish you and to license you as a driver. It's not designed to kick you off the road, but to bring you into it. And the same way, God will craft our circumstances and bring them into our lives in a way that will reveal what we're relying on besides God. And he will make it very clear to us. What do you run to when the pressure's on besides God? You know, when everybody's gone and no one's around, what is it that you take refuge in besides God? And he wants to show us what that is, not to guilt us, not to condemn us, but he wants us to see what it is he is going to deal with in our lives. And so some of us run to drugs, some alcohol, some pornography, and things like that. We all know that drunk drivers are dangerous, right? So are backseat drunk drivers, if they're persuasive, right? Turn left. But there's trees there. Turn left anyway. But God wants to heal us. Why do I put these jokes in here, you know? God wants to heal us of these things. So are you happy with your relationship with God? A lot of people kind of look at Christianity like, you know, when I get to heaven, then I'm going to have this incredible walk with God. Then I'm going to love him, worship him. But we have received eternal life right now. We are in the Spirit. We are in his presence. What if the way you are with God right now is the way you would be forever and ever. Is that okay? You know, it's not okay with me the way I am. I want to get busy and get some things done. You know, I want to get some things out of the way. I want to work with God and really walk with Him and know Him in a very real way. Another way of looking at strongholds is that we can call them crutches, if you would. That we all, why does a person use crutches? So we can walk normally. It's a form of support. It is a coping mechanism. Some of us have socially acceptable crutches, and some of us have socially unacceptable crutches. You know, my crutches happen to be felonies, but other people have different ones, right? And God wants to deal with these crutches. And there will come a time in our lives when God will begin to tug away and challenge that perhaps we don't need those crutches anymore. And He will bring a conflict of some kind. Right? It's kind of like that thing where they say when mom is not happy, no one's happy, you know? Well, God lives within us, and until He's happy, we're not going to be happy. And He wants to take us all the way through this process to the very end. Kind of reminds me of when I was hitchhiking and a hearse pulled over. And I said, no thanks, not going that far.
As Stan was talking about crutches, if we can let go of our crutches long enough, it will show us our need. And then if we take the desire that we had for that crutch mm-hmm. or that addiction, and we point that desire toward God, He tells us to be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. And so for this to happen, we have to be still. God wouldn't tell us to be still if He weren't doing something inside of us, yes. if He weren't working on us. And you might say, well, that makes me feel very vulnerable. And the reason you feel that way is because you are vulnerable. It's like a car up on a lift, and the car is still so that the mechanic can be working on it. And if a photographer is going to take your picture, you have to sit still. You have to be still. So for God to do the work in us that He wants to do, we must be still. Yes. And many times, especially for an addict, being still is a very, very difficult thing.
Kind of reminds me of the Labrador Retriever Recovery Program, where it's sit, stay, and heal. I don't know about you, but when I have an opportunity to use or to act out in some way, one of the hardest things for me to do is to be still and to rest. Most addicts are very anxious internally, and it's a real challenge to sit and allow whatever it is to surface, right? It's like somebody that's hiding from you underwater. You just wait, you know, they're going to pop up. And so what is it that, if you don't reach for your crutches, you don't reach for that coping mechanism, what is it that you're going to feel that you're avoiding? You know, what's going to rise up? And what if you take a long walk around that with the Lord? What is it that you have to face that you wouldn't face had you just went ahead and reached for whatever your coping mechanism is? And when we allow ourselves what she's saying about being vulnerable, and I stand before God without my crutches, it's very humbling. But it's like standing naked before God. I am now ready to receive His family crest, the family ring. I'm ready to allow Him to clothe me with a new identity in that place, which is where He wants us so bad, to stand in that place and be still. It's why He says, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest. And it's so important for us to come to Him in that way.
On the other hand, there are so-called benefits of staying sick, of not letting go of the crutches in your life. I know that when Stan and I were living in active addiction, there were many things that weren't required of us. And the reason for that was because we were such a mess. Oftentimes, people will talk about being delivered or being healed and how wonderful that is, and it truly is a wonderful thing. But what about after that? What has to happen now that they're healed? If you have a person who is paralyzed and in a wheelchair, and they've lived in that wheelchair all their lives, there's many things that aren't required of that person. But if they are suddenly healed, then what? Now what must they learn? Mm-hmm. Actually, they have to learn just about everything, right? And so sometimes when people talk about being healed or delivered, there's a temptation to skip the process of walking the rest of that healing out. And in the temptation account with Jesus, if you look at it, you will see that one aspect of that temptation account, and a very strong aspect, was that Satan tried to tempt Jesus to skip the process. In essence, what he was telling Jesus was, you don't have to wait. You don't even have to go to the cross. You can have everything right now. But one of the coolest things about walking out this process with God and letting go of the crutches and the addictions in our lives, as scary as that is that God will give each one of us, each one of you, a very personal strategy of how to let go of the crutches in your life. And he will laugh with joy as you learn to run, which is something you cannot do with crutch.
That's super important. And talking about the strategy, I really like that, because there's some things, you know, Paul asked God three times to remove his thorn in the flesh. He didn't just make a decision on his own of how to look at this problem. He went before God and he pressed in until he got an answer. Some things we have to accept. Some things we have to drive out, you know, almost violently. We need to oppose it. Some things we can keep if they're just changed a little bit. But those are things we have to work out with God, and we need to get our answers from God. It's more important for us to learn to go to God and receive our answers than it is to solve the problem. Is what you're dealing with something you have to overcome, something you have to accept as is, that's going to be an opposition in your life? Some things are obvious, like my hair loss. Do I have to just accept that? Can I violently oppose it? Maybe. It's something I have to talk to God about. I used to have a ponytail. But I don't know if it really matters how I wear my last three remaining hairs. But, you know, the ponytail, I don't know. Bald guy with the ponytail, I don't think any girls are saying, look at that bald guy. Oh, wait a minute. He's got a ponytail. That changes everything. I'm at the age now when I wink at somebody, they think I'm having a stroke. Okay. So if you have a dog in your backyard, right? He's got a small chain. And all he has is a little pole to run around. You feed him. You don't socialize him. You don't teach him. You don't train him. Nothing. You just feed him, and there he is in the backyard. That's his life. And someone might say, you know what? He just needs to be set free. Set him free. And we hear that kind of stuff a lot. And if you cut the chain, is the dog free? You know, not at all, right? I mean, he's a danger to himself and the whole neighborhood. And so what freedom looks like is a little different than that. And so that was something I had to really figure out. You know, if the master went back there and began spending time with the dog, training him, teaching him, taking him for walks, socializing him, getting him to focus, there would come a time in that dog's life when the master could take him anywhere he wanted to go, everywhere, without a chain, because he and the master would be one. That dog would be completely focused, knowing exactly what he was to do and when. The dog on the chain is our soul, and the master is the presence of God, Spirit of God, our brand new identity within us. or we need to train our mind, our will, and our emotion to be one with the presence within us. And this is a process. And part of our soul is our will. We hear a lot about will. I don't know about you, but the whole willpower thing, if we put any more pressure on the will in our teaching, I tell you, it's just going to shatter in a million pieces. Because our will was not designed to handle that kind of weight. Our will was designed to be placed in His will. And there it remains. It's not designed to make all those decisions and hold all those things back. It can't do it. All my energy goes into submitting my will to His and resting in that place and let Him do the heavy lifting.
God says to us that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the yoke means that I am connected to someone much bigger and much stronger than I am. And my job is just to walk with Him and to watch Him work. He lets me tag along. Mm-hmm. And another very important part of being still or resting in God is that we get to ask Him lots of questions. Do you ask questions of God? Someone said that the first responsibility of love is to listen. And God did not come stomping into the Garden of Eden, demanding and commanding. He came asking questions. And I love that about God. And as sons and daughters of God here tonight, know this, that if you are in a room, God fills that room. If you move into another room, He also fills that room. Wherever you are, He fills that space. God loves you and He is with you everywhere you go. He is absolutely crazy about you and He's determined to heal your wounds. And those wounds that have led you to your crutches, He wants to heal those wounds tonight.
In Colossians, it tells us that we are complete in Christ and that we have authority over the spiritual realm. And our flesh or our selfish nature will offer us a counterfeit identity. And that counterfeit identity is always wanting us to take the easy way out. And a stronghold can be described as anything that convinces you that you are not in Christ in that area. And when you decide to challenge those areas where you have unbelief, where you're not convinced you're in Christ, the flesh is going to fight for its life. So these desires and these fleshly behaviors, these tactics I carry, this history I have, these coping strategies, all of them have been condemned. They have been condemned totally. When were they condemned? They were condemned on the cross. Isaiah tells us that when Jesus died, darkness covered the whole land. And that if you were to go up to the cross in the middle of that darkness and shine a flashlight up there, you would not have been able to recognize Him as a person, because He became that flesh. He became that sin. All of it. And God put us into Christ. When He was buried, we were buried. And when He was raised, we were raised as a brand new person. And that brand new identity and that brand new person is free from sin's control. So we'll end on this one note here that if I can say something or do something to you and get you to react a certain way, then I can control you. Media does it all the time. And the things that we indulge in when certain situations come up, if I can get you to react a certain way every time, I can control you.
If every time I push a button, I get a certain response, that's like a stronghold. But what happens if the button gets pushed and there's no response at all? Now you have become unpredictable. You've become very dangerous.
So the button's still wired, but there's no response except for the response to turn my need to God. And all that the needs of that thing is wired and based on. So God will lead us to a place. He'll bring you through your circumstances in His time to a doorway. And you'll stand in that doorway. And He will tell you that all that lies beyond this doorway is what He wants to bring, where He wants to take you, adventures He wants to go on with you. But this is where the crutches have to be laid down. I have all this to do with you. Right here is where this ends. Will you lay them down? Will you trust me? And that is a very scary thing. I remember the day my wife and I had these long discussions, and the circumstances were heating up. God knew exactly what He's doing. He's an amazing personal coach. And He said, "This is where we stop. But I have so much more for you. Will you lay them down?" And I laid my needles down. In fact, we jumped on a four-wheeler and took them all to a dumpster together. And I was terrified. And the adventure that it's been since that day has been like no other on earth. Am I still in the process? Sure. Are there more doorways for me? Oh, I'm sure. But I'm learning to depend on God more and more. And that's the whole thing, is my relationship with Him. So who knows what the adventure is beyond that door, if we'll have the courage to trust Him in rest and stillness, say, "I'm laying Him down, and I'm walking through that door." Let me pray. Thank You, Lord, for making us a brand new person. Thank You for Your patience and Your kindness. You are good. Bring us all gently to the place where we lay these things down that stop us from running with You into all You have for us, where we can be a light to a hurting world. Thank You for the people here tonight. Celebrate recovery leaders and everyone here tonight. What a special thing that we get to be the salt of the earth. We get to be light, Your light, in this world. What a privilege. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for all You've done for us we couldn't do for ourselves. Thank You for making us Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all of my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then You look at this prisoner and say to me, "Son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won, 'cause I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear You whisper, 'Child, lift up your head,' I remember, oh God, You're not done with me yet. 'Cause I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. 'Cause I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed. Thank God redeemed.
Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.